Now, our next speakers, and I want to explain something. Francisco Alvarado had committed to be here, and I have to express a bit of dismay because he contacted me this week to say that he had a conflict and would not appear. Having said that, though, we have two very able people from the Department of Rehab Services to talk to us, to update us, both on the BEP program and BBS, and they've both been friends to the Federation and the blind community for a long time. So who wants to go first?
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jan Sherburn. Okay. And Thank you.
Make sure that's working. If not, I'm going to roll.
Is this working?
Yeah, if you eat it.
You know, tell me if it's not, because you guys probably know my hearing's a little off, so I can't tell things like that. I have the pleasure of working with the BBS Field Program, which is our teachers and our counselors. And, you know, we've had kind of an interesting year. I think a few of you maybe called me even, because we did change our, and I don't know what kind of things might interest you, so if I hit on one, I'm glad to explain it further. One of the things that happened to us this year is we moved our older blind program to community providers, and if someone has a question about that at all, I'm glad to explain more about that. On the flip side, a good thing that's happening to us is we're trying to spend a lot more focus time on adding services for people who are deafblind. And I say it that way because we consider that a separate disability from blindness and a separate disability from deafness. The battle we fight is that a lot of people in the rehab community think that you use a counselor for the deaf or you use a counselor for the blind, and you really don't. You need a specialist that's a counselor for the deafblind because it's different. So I just want to say that to you because that's something we're working on in case you hear about that, that you might be able to support us a little bit with that concept. We're working with the Helen Keller National Center. They're the most well-known provider of those services in the United States, and they've been working with us to train our rehabilitation instructors so that they can become more knowledgeable about how to instruct people who are deafblind. But in the meantime, we would like to hire a counselor or two or three in the state who would specialize in deafblind, in people who have deafness and blindness combined, or deafblind people. Another thing that's going on, and this is maybe my personal concern, but I like to say it here in this group because I think a lot of you think about these things very deeply, and we could use advice on them, and that is, you know, historically, it's easy to see the people who are blind, generally speaking, go to college, even graduate school, they get jobs that pay well. But I'm not sure that's really fair. I think you should be able to, the regular population says, I don't want to go to school at all. I just want to go out the door from high school and go to work. So the blind and visually impaired population should have that opportunity too if they want that opportunity. And we don't really have anything that allows that. And I continue to try to think what that would be. If some of you know what that would be or have an idea about that, I would really be open to hearing that. It's not that I think that's a great idea because I don't even know what it is, so I don't know. I just think that people who are blind who maybe don't want to go to school or long-term training should have that same choice if they want that choice. So I am open to hearing about those kind of jobs. I honestly don't know what they are. So that's something I'm truly trying to look into. We are working with a gentleman named Byron Harden. He's in Beecher, Illinois. And we really hope to bring about maybe a little more opportunity in the field of music careers. These are things you can run as a business yourself. That may be an area where we can provide a little more opportunity with not quite as much time development in education. I think that'll give me a good start to hand over to you, Raven, at least a few things that are going on right now in our program.
Okay. Well, my name is Raven Pulliam. I'm the program administrator for Business Enterprise Program for the Blind, and I also brought a posse.
Oh, thank you.
My posse over here, the Blind Vendors of the State of Illinois.
Yay!
they are good, I mean, strong supporters of me and what I do, so I cannot be a success without their backing, and I appreciate them very much. I guess you guys would like to hear about what's been going on in the BEPB program. This is my third time being in front of you guys. The first time, Mary Lou Granwall asked me a question that I could not answer because I was brand new. She asked me, do you remember what that was, Mary Lou?
I think it was about your ideas for the future.
Yeah, she wanted to know, what is my vision for the BEPB program? The only vision I had was to get out of writing letters because it was so much confusion and so many problems in the program. All I was doing was writing letters of explanation and also writing letters just to say I'm sorry or the state was sorry. That was it. And so I didn't have an answer, but now I have an answer for you. My goal is to make sure that every person in our program has employment. And that is the whole goal of our program. That's the whole goal of Jan's program, is to make sure that the people that want employment have employment. And I think that needs a clap.
Oh, I do too.
We've been involved in probably more legal cases than in the history of our program. Matter of fact, I can't believe that our program ever has had arbitration cases except that we kind of initiated. Vendors here, have you guys ever remembered that the BEPB program initiated any arbitration cases to try to get locations? And that's what we're doing right now. So far, we've initiated a case for Federal Aviation Administration. We won that case. There was a location up in Elgin, Illinois, that decided just because we signed a federal permit for you guys to operate vending at our location, we will not honor it. And I'm like, what? And that was back in 2006. Previous administration did nothing about it. But now with the backing of the blind managers of the state of Illinois, we have done something about it. We took it to arbitration. We won. So now it's going to be a location that a blind manager would be able to operate. But, of course, we always run into opposition. One thing that I've learned, and I'm pretty sure you guys have learned as well, anytime you can have all of the backing as far as legally possible, you still got to fight for your right. And that's what's happening with us. We've got all of the backing legally. We even had a federal permit signed by them. They're still not wanting to give it to us. So we're trying our best to weed through it. There is a meeting next Tuesday in Washington, D.C., to figure out, I guess it's with FAA, to figure out, A, what's the deal? Why are this organization is stonewalling us so much? So hopefully next week we'll find out a solution to our dilemma of not being in there, especially when we win the arbitration case. The next one is we filed an arbitration case for Rock Island Arsenal. I believe last time I was here, I was talking to you guys about Rock Island Arsenal. It is a federal base, Army base, that has roughly 8,000 people that go on the base every day to work, and then at 4 o'clock they leave. It has 155 vending machines. So just when you do the math, if you've got thousands of people on an Army base and 155 vending machines, it's going to be very lucrative to a blind manager to operate. And they're stonewalling us on that one as well. But they have agreed, they do not want this to go to arbitration. So we have been working it out, and next week hopefully I'll find out some more answers on a solution to that problem. We also bluffed recently. The GSA, that is the organization that has all of the government buildings downtown Chicago and basically all over the nation. They built a coffee kiosk in a federal building without notifying us. We have rights to all type of operations like that in federal buildings, but they built it, put somebody else in it. When I found out about them building it, all the blind managers were saying, you need to stop this, you need to stop. I says, nope, I'm not going to stop it. I just want to let them build it, and I'll take it from them. And that is exactly what's transpiring. I'll have a meeting Monday to talk with a local restaurateur to hopefully assist us in the operation of that coffee kiosk. So it's going to be another opportunity for a blind manager to make some money. Lately, what we've been doing is doing a whole bunch of installations at our state prisons. Our state has a lot of bad people in it. There are over 50,000 people locked up in the state of Illinois. And those 50,000 people, they do have loved ones. We were wondering what you're going to give me. But they do have loved ones. When people get locked up, they're there. People feel sorry for them. So their mom and dad, their kids, their wives, girlfriends, or whatever, go see them. When they go in, they're able to buy things out of the vending machine. And our vendors are reaping the profits from people being locked up now, which is a great thing. So just to give you a rundown on what's been happening lately with that, we've installed 16 correctional centers. Those are the prisons, 5 work camps, 4 juvenile justice facilities, 2 adult transitional centers. That's a total of 27 new operations for our program. That's about $3.5 million in sales that's been added to our program. That's in the last 2 years. We've got 8 more correctional centers left: Sheridan, Jacksonville, East Moline, Western, Hill, Lawrence, and Robinson. Our next one will be Stateville. That is the largest location in the state. It's also the closest to Chicago, where we have the worst people in the state, because that supplies most of the prisons in the state of Illinois. I hate to say it, but for you Chicago people, sorry.
Well, we send them downstate, too. We just process them through there.
Yeah.
Yes, you're welcome, Jess.
But it's projected, and these are very conservative figures, that the sales from that location will be $600,000 a year. That's a lot of money when it comes to sales. But I'm thinking it's probably going to be more like $800,000. That's just me personally. We did a bid recently, and there were, I believe it was 5 or 6 vendors. I believe we have one here that actually went to the walkthrough of the location. It's a large one, isn't it, G?
Yeah, it's good.
You think it's going to make a lot of money?
It'll make more than you say.
Exactly. Exactly. Our bid went out to say it's going to make around $135,000. What do you think it's going to make, G?
$225,000.
I believe it.
Anybody want to come be in the vending program?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that was a cash register, huh?
And that is with 41, I believe it's like 41, 45 vending machines. So it is quite an undertaking as far as to operate it, but it's going to be very lucrative. We have a gentleman that has two prisons sitting over there. And he told me, this was just recently, last Friday, that he's making more money than he doesn't know what to do with it all.
But you never talk. Maybe people here wonder, is it a safe place to work?
I'll let Jess Rogers answer that. Is it a safe place to work?
Absolutely. We have a guard with us every second that we're there.
Okay.
No problem.
So that is what's been going on in our program lately. It's shined so bright for people going in or with the current vendors that are in it. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to come again. Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. I'm going to take some questions. Thank you both for being here.
Patty, thank you, but I do want to mention, we should have mentioned, we don't have a bureau chief yet, and there's no word when that would ever happen. So we should have probably...
Well, that was going to be my first question,
sorry,
Dan.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You can anticipate me.
Oh, no.
But that is where I was going.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I mean, in case you're wondering, we... not only don't have a bureau chief, we don't even have any word or anything about a bureau chief. No movement at all, wouldn't you say? Raven doesn't like to talk on this matter. It seems to infuriate him.
Well, it's kind of disheartening that we don't have a boss. We have an interim boss, but our interim boss isn't even here today. So... I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that was well edited, Raven, because I'm sure that you feel a little more strongly than that. I know I do. Questions? Jess, can we get Jess a mic? Jess is to my left, Byron. Jess, speak up. That was you, right?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Where are you?
There we go. Thank you.
Make lots of noise so I can find you. Scream, shout, shake.
Jess has got the prison locations. He can just shake the change purse.
We just take bills at the prisons.
We don't take
any change. What's really happening, and neither one of these guys standing up there, Jan nor Raven, will say so, but, you know, they both wear a lot of hats, and we have no idea until we talk to them how much they actually do that's beyond the call of duty. They wear a lot of hats. They take everything in stride, and they make everything work. And that's what's happening with the Business Enterprise Program now, is everything is working together. Everybody, our committee, our managers, our administration, everybody is working together, and that's what makes a good plan come together. Thank you guys very, very much.
I want to say something. You know, Jess, I want to thank you for saying that, but I do worry that one day we come to a breaking point, because there's so many people that help us do that are really great staff that have been around for a long time, but it's getting less and less people. And, you know, there comes a point when there's not enough people, and we have very few anymore.
Hoffman? Ronza.
Where are you? You're good at being loud.
Thank you. I have a question. Yesterday, the Resolutions Committee had a resolution involving the impact of the blind on the impact on the blind of the federal government shutdown.
Uh-huh.
And business entrepreneurs and blind vendors are particularly vulnerable, especially those in federal installations and on federal properties. Is the Illinois Rehab working with anyone to try to minimize the effects of any future government shutdown on such individuals? And if so, what are you working on?
We have not been working on a thing as far as the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind. There is one thing that we can do within our rules, but it would take the action of the blind vendors, and it's called fair minimum return, and it's in our federal rules that we could implement something like that, which means if a blind vendor has a hardship, we're able to pull out of a fund called Set Aside and give them a little bit of money to make sure that they can stay on their feet. But that would take an act of the blind vendors at large and the Illinois Committee of Blind Vendors to make that happen.
I don't think I have anything to offer you. I'm sitting here thinking how we might feed into that. Remember, the role we have is in rehabilitation. Once your case is closed, we are done. So you're thinking of a more long-term need from us. It's an interesting idea. I wonder if I could, if you wrote something, I may be able to propose it to the people who do write our rules. I'm sorry I had not thought of this before. But I would be glad to, I have my card here, and I would be glad to see if I could work. There's a lady named Deb Morell in Springfield, and they do ask us for additions to not just rules, but amendments and things for the state of Illinois. I don't think I have any avenue nationwide or for anything. But Ellen, well, I could, you and I could communicate on that and maybe make a link on that. I'm sorry I had not thought of it before. Okay.
All right. Jamal, I think you're going to have to call because we're going to stay on track in order to clear the room at the end of this session. I want to thank Jan and Raven for both being here. I want to especially thank both of you for having open phone lines, open email. When I contact either of you, I actually get a contact back, which in this day and age is truly appreciated.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you.